Okay, and so as Dina mentioned, we do need to record the meeting for Open Meetings Act. And so this information, the audio of this meeting will be available on the SHARE website, usually about a week after the meeting has concluded. And so we will go ahead and start recording. Ryan, can you go ahead and call the meeting to order for us one more time?
Yep, we'll call the meeting. We're at 2:13.
Okay, and just another reminder, any type of vote that we take today does need to be a roll call vote, again, just to comply with the Open Meetings Act. Okay, Ryan Johnson.
Here.
Sarah Hill. Jim Bosomworth. Danielle Cornelius.
Here.
Esther Curry.
Here.
Jenna Dower.
Let's try that again. I'm here.
Thanks, Jenna. Gloria Hendrickson. Brittany Hogue.
Here.
Hope Kasten. Donna Shaw.
Here.
Miranda Shake. And Carol Zies.
Here.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so the first item of business we have is the approval of minutes from the February 3rd, 2022 meeting and the April 21st, 2022 budget review meeting. Has everybody had a chance to take a look at those?
Do we need those as two separate motions?
No, we do not.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve both sets of minutes.
This is Esther, I'll second.
Okay. And so we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Sarah Hill? Or excuse me, Danielle Cornelius?
Yes, sorry, I didn't know if you could hear me.
Thanks, Danielle. Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Brittany Hogue?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
And Carol Zies?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so we actually didn't have anything in the old business category unless anybody had something that they'd like to bring up today. Does anybody have any old business?
Can I just ask a real quick question? I wasn't at the February meeting and I can't recall if this happened. Was there ever a collection HQ EDI demo?
There was.
Okay. And did those get recorded somewhere?
They were, and they are on the SHARE website.
Okay. Do you know what they're under? I tried to Google it and I couldn't find it.
So if you go to the SHARE website and let's see, it's kind of midway down the page. It was the Collection HQ DEI analysis tool for SHARE.
Okay.
If you click on that, it has some information. And you know what? It looks like that demo was not added to that. So I will send that to you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sure. I'm just making myself a note. Give me just one moment. And that has technically, that offer has technically expired, but I do know that I was working with Ryan. So mm-hmm. If you are interested in that product, I think we have until the end of June to make a determination on that. So if you are interested, please let me know before okay. The end of the month.
Alyssa, who's the head of PRS and is on the e-research, she may already have looked at it and decided not to. I just saw it on there and I thought, I better follow up, so.
Yeah. And I think I had talked to Rick about it as well. So
okay.
You might check in with him.
Yeah, we use Collection HQ.
Yeah. Okay. Any other old business? Okay, then we can go ahead and move on to new business. The first thing I have for you is actually originates from the SHARE eResources Committee, which is the Collection Development Policy and Reconsideration Procedure. With, you know, as we're all aware of some of the censorship challenges in the news, we decided to take a look at our reconsideration policy. And thanks to Leslie Zabaduk for helping review that to make sure that it still makes sense, as well as taking a look at the starting a reconsideration procedure. And so I really appreciate her doing that. Just on a side note, I don't know if everyone is aware, but Leslie Zabaduk is going to be moving over to IHLS as a grant writing capacity. And so we're really excited for her to take over in that role. We are also have hired a new Leslie, which is Danielle Beasley. So of course she's here with us today as we're discussing this new policy. So the big thing for the collection development policy, the first was that it was, we added some language about funding, and we also added some language about the reconsideration. And so has everybody had a chance to take a look at that?
Do you need action on this item today?
So what the idea was that the Share eResources Committee, because they don't meet as frequently, they have sent it to this committee for final review and approval. So yeah, we do need action if everybody's had a chance to look at it, or if anybody needs has any questions or needs further discussion.
Leslie, do you have any highlights you want to share about the policy?
There we go. not really. The eResources Committee, we looked at this because it had never been rewritten since eRead Illinois started in 2013. So it kind of needed to be done regardless of lots of challenges happening or not. And we just thought it was a good idea to actually have like the Share Cloud Library Collection Development Guidelines in writing, as opposed to it being part of eRead Illinois, which was the older grant project. We added the procedural document. So I think on the collection development guidelines, I added that as Appendix A. And then I did draft up like a form that we thought like libraries would be able to give to their patrons, so that if a library came to you and said, we don't like this ebook, or we don't think this should be in the cloud library, it wouldn't fall on the library to do that. Since it's a consortial collection, it would fall more on the share committees. I just basically cut and pasted this from the ALA reconsideration form and some other public libraries that I thought had really good ones. And then the collection development guidelines come from the same thing, ALA guidance, our old policy. I kept some of the good stuff that was in there, and then some other newer, more current public library guidelines, both from e-collections and print collections. So it's pretty standard document. There's nothing too wild or new or unique in it, but we just thought it would be a good thing to have it updated and as part of our policies. So that's why we went ahead and did it now.
And one note I would like to share is, because the policy itself, really the meat of the policy didn't change, we added some language about funding, and then we added some procedural information about reconsideration, but the actual policy itself really didn't change. So I think that this would fall under that umbrella of a minor change. It does not need to go to the full membership for a vote. I think we can do that at this level. I would just go ahead and make the change and have them take effect.
I'll make a motion to approve policy as presented.
This is Esther, I'll second.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius.
Yes.
Esther Curry.
Yes.
Jenna Dower.
Yes.
Brittany Hogue.
Yes.
Donna Shaw.
Yes.
And Carol Zies.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right, do we have any other new business? All right, and with that, I will go ahead and turn it over to Ellen.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's good to see all of you. I don't really have that much, just a couple updates. A lot of you know all of this that's going on. We just this week were able to submit our system area and per capita grant to the state library. So that's a weight off the shoulders of many, many people, staff and board and committees and all kinds of things. So that's always a nice benchmark in the year. We've recently had board elections and three people were reelected to second terms. Those are Loretta Broomfield from the Marion Carnegie Library, Karen Bounds from the Centralia Library, and Josh Short from the Highland Library. And two new board members will be joining the IHLS board this year. And those are Linda McDonald from the 6 Mile Regional Library District and Kevin Kelsey from the Mahomet Library. And I have to shout out to the two new elected ILA board members that are at this committee meeting today, Ryan and Esther. I'm so glad you're going to do this. It's gonna be great. And I think you're going to like doing it. It's time, if you haven't done it already, to fill in the information about your non-resident cards and how those will be sold this year. It's done through L2. If you have any questions, you can give me a call. Shandy and Danielle and Loretta and I worked through directions for it. One thing we discovered about L2 is that we really at the system need a dummy account because it's very apparent that we don't see what you see. So if you see Loretta Broomfield anywhere, thank her for walking through it with us. Our Members Matter meeting for June will be on taking care of your facility, and Kathy Parker is going to do that for us. We're really excited that that's going to happen. Anna sent you all on the director's listserv a pretty detailed list the other day about things you might want to pay attention to. One thing is your unique entity identity number and their directions on how to get that. There's a grant available for libraries in Madison, St. Clair, Monroe, and Clinton counties. And then applications are currently open for Directors University 2.0, which will be held in August. I think the information I have says they're getting close to capacity. So if it's something you or anybody at your your director is interested in, it's probably a good thing to get them to register soon. Next week is Directors U, and IHLS has a healthy group of attendees participating. So we're looking forward to that. And Bobby Perryman is one of the co-chairs, Bobby from Vespasian Warner, along with Heidi Smith from the Highland Park Public Library. So it should be a good week. It's their first time in person since 2019. So that's what I have. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Ellen, I have a question.
It sure.
Pertains to the non-resident information. So my board has long passed two different motions, one to participate and then another motion on what method to use. Is that still necessary or can they do that all as one motion?
Oh, they can do that. I don't see why they couldn't do it as one motion, Ryan.
Okay, thank you. I was hoping that would be your answer.
Yeah, I can't see why not.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you so much, Ellen.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I do have quite a few things for the share update. So I would first like to say thank you to all of our volunteers, including Ryan, Gloria, Brittany, and Jim Bosomworth. They are all finishing up their second term so this will be their last meeting. So I do want to just tell you all, thank you for all of your participation. We are in the process of recruitment for two new school library positions, the e-resources committee chair. We did discuss that at our March meeting, but have not had a chance to confirm who will be our next e-resources committee person. And we're still recruiting again for the two school library participants. So if anybody knows a school librarian that you think that would do a great job, please email me so I can reach out to them and let them know that they have been received a recommendation. I did also talk to Emily at the Scott Air Force Base. She is interested in participating as well as part of our Share Executive Council. So I think that she will be taking over as our special library representative. As long as that works for everyone, we will invite her to the next meeting. And so again, the biggest need is definitely our school library representatives. So if you know someone, or Brittany, if you'd like to tag someone in as a replacement, that would be wonderful. And so, again, we'll begin recruitment to hopefully get them seated in August. The next thing I have for you is we do have some new faces at SHARE. So Edie Elliott has retired, and so she's actually on, we're considering, she is taking part of the month as vacation. Her last day was last week. And so just we're really excited for her to be able to do some new things and have some adventures, and hopefully we'll still continue to see her every once in a while. As part of that, Edie, we kind of reconfigured SHARE just a bit. So we have different tiers of catalogers right now. And so that is the cataloger one. Cataloger two does high level specialized work, and then cataloger three, which would be equivalent to Edie's position, but it may not have supervisory duties as of right now. And so the cataloger three has been hired, and his name is Josh. So you might see his name around. And we have also hired a new cataloger one, and her name is Anna. And so you might see those new names. We actually also just posted for a new SHARE administrative assistant. And so she's going to be coordinating a lot of our clerical things, like, you know, entering events into L2, planning demos and things like that. So we're really excited. If you know anybody who's a great administrative assistant or has that background that's looking for a job, please send them my way.
Cassandra, is that job posted currently?
It just posted today.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I do also want to give everyone just a little bit of a heads up that we had been working with the Rails LSAP Sustainability Working Group, and I know that we have discussed this a little bit in the past of, you know, maybe opening up membership to Rails members. And as of right now, there was a bit of a change in leadership at Rails. I know Dee Brennan is actually retiring. I think that they've put a pause on that project. We're still waiting for the next meeting, but they have, it's my understanding that they were looking into a consultant, but I don't think that they're moving forward with that. And so that conversation is ongoing, but I don't know that we are really planning an expansion or a merger or anything of the sort at this time. But of course, we will still remain open for membership for anybody that wants to participate and share. We are still looking pretty heavily at grant opportunities for expansion for current IHLS members, specifically schools. We actually will have a demo in December with the Southern Illinois Library and Teachers networking group. They've invited us to provide a demo. We've heard that they're not especially happy with Follett. And so there are also a couple of SHARE members that participate in that group. And so they were the first to say, hey, have you considered SHARE? So thank you to those members who spoke out about their being happy with SHARE and got us an invitation to provide a demo. I do have an announcement just about the Carly project. I don't know if you all remember the budget amendment that we did. That project is still ongoing, and it was supposed to go through the end of the fiscal year 2022. The State Library has picked up the financial piece for that, so we're going to continue that into fiscal 2023. So we were really excited, and much thanks to the Illinois State Library for that. We are also planning on July 1 to start the self-check feature with the Share Mobile Library. And so that is in progress, and hopefully we'll get that started. Again, July 1, we'll be able to have that go live for all the libraries that were interested in participating in that. I also have an update. We have two new members that have gone live, Northwestern Elementary School, which they were outside of their three-year transition. So we're really excited that they're ready to go. Today, Melvin Public Library is going live. And as Dina has said, they have been the quickest to transition. We think it was only about a year. So they're really excited about joining us, and we're really excited to have them. We have also completed the McNaughton program. Unfortunately, we only had 4 participants, so I was a bit surprised by that. So if anybody has any feedback of how you think that that might, what we might be able to do to improve that program, or if there's reasons why you chose not to participate, I'd love to hear that, because we were really hopeful. We thought it was going to be a really valuable program for members, but it might just take some time to kind of launch and get off the ground. We also have completed the share budget. Again, we had included the position for the new e-resources specialist, which is course Danielle, and the administrative assistant. So we're hoping that as of July 1, the new administrative assistant, after our June board meeting, that that person will start. And so otherwise, I think that there weren't any major changes to the share budget. The last item that I wanted to just give everyone an update is, you may have heard that we had an issue with texting, where texts were going out to patrons in the middle of the night. And my sincerest apologies for that. That is really frustrating for you all, for your staff, for the patrons who are getting these obnoxious texts in the middle of the night. I wouldn't want to get that text, so I'm sure it was incredibly frustrating for them. We are trying to look at solutions, including going to a third-party vendor for texting to get a toll-free number, so we are better in control of the texting process. What happens is the server runs the job, I guess, for lack of a better word, 4 times a day, then it goes out to the carriers. Well, the carriers, because it's an older technology, they sometimes hold it because they don't want to spam their customers. And so we think that that's the holdup. And so maybe if we go to this third party vendor with a toll-free number, we may be able to alleviate some of that and hopefully stop that from happening. And so, again, my apologies that has been going on, but we are working on it. And as soon as we have more information about the solution, we will definitely keep everybody updated. Does anybody have any questions before I maybe pass it on to Tina or Jen? Okay. All right. Well, then I will go ahead and turn it over to, let's see, Jen.
Everyone. So thank you, Kathy, for covering the new hires. We're excited to have them. And tangentially related to that, some of you may have heard, some haven't. I will be going on maternity leave sometime in the next 3 weeks, hopefully sooner rather than later. So in my absence, Josh will be covering a lot of the issues that may arise, or if you have any questions, definitely email him. I'll put his email in the chat box. Other than that, it's been pretty much the standard workflows in bid services, just trying to get caught up. We only have one cataloger in campaign right now. So they've been inundated. They've been sending subs down to the rest of us. But we are on good footing again. So thankfully we have that. And Dina, anything?
Good afternoon, everyone. As Cassandra mentioned, we have Melvin Library go live, and I think they should be going live like literally any minute. They were getting their circulation training done this morning as well. She is very, very excited the possibilities and that this is going to open up for her patrons. Her patrons have been coming in and asking her on a daily basis when they can start putting their own books on reserve, you know, at midnight from home. Very, very excited about that. As I just mentioned, their circulation training, I've started the process of kind of going through things that are covered in our circulation training. When new staff come aboard or a new library comes aboard, I want to make sure that we are providing the training that our members need so they can do the job with Polaris or LEAP effectively. So if you know of anything that you wish we would have covered or we would have got over in more detail, please don't hesitate to let me know. In my previous life, I used to do circulation training, but I've been out of that world for a while, and it is very easy to forget those necessities that you need to cover when you're training new staff. For the last month or so, my days consist of end of the school year for the school libraries. That just ended. I did the last entry for schools today. So all of our schools are shut down until I think delivery is going to start again on August 20th. So just be aware if your patrons are ordering items that only a grade school owns or a high school owns, it's going to be the fall until they get those. So there might be a little bit of a delay getting those. Work continues on getting the kit and caboodle program running smoothly. We're starting to get some donations for it. Some great kits are coming in for us to catalog. So there'll be definitely be more about that on the horizon. And we're looking to streamline the checkout process and putting things on reserve. And so that's our work in progress. I finally, on my to-do list that I have, a running to-do list, I finally made a list of libraries that are fine free. Every time a library that goes fine free, they always ask me, hey, do you have a list of libraries that are fine free? I finally have that list now. So I've been working on that, and that had been on my to-do list for such a long time. So I finally got that completed. Another thing that we're working on with IT, depending on your library situation, you may be receiving an email from one of our IT members, John. If your library is not using Polaris, using the remote desktop protocol, you are going to lose access to Polaris on June 14th. So we had sent out instructions a while back where you use a workstation login, and you set it up through your remote desktop app. Again, if your library is not doing that, you're still accessing Leap the old-fashioned way, going to the website star.illinoisheartland.org. On June 14th, you will no longer be able to access it through that. You will need to use the remote desktop protocol. So out of almost 474 locations, there was only about 60 libraries not doing this yet. So I was thrilled that the number was that low. I'm so happy to hear that. So if your library is still using those protocols, even just on one or two computers, you will be getting a letter from John. It's real simple. We have links for the instructions on how to get things set up for your computer. And, you know, as always, you can call us if there's any questions along the way. But other than that, looking over my list, I think that's all I have. So if anyone has any questions, if not, I'll pass it back to Cassandra.
Okay, thank you, Dina. Thanks, Jen. All right, so we can go ahead and move on to share committee updates, and we'll start with Donna with Bibliographic Services and Cataloging Standards.
Hi, we did have a meeting right after the last share executive, and although we are discussing some things, nothing really has been, you know, definitively changed, other than I do think, I can't remember exactly, I'm so sorry, guys. I can't remember exactly, I don't think we voted on it, but we are talking about making sure that barcoders get more training, that they're required to take training every year. Somebody correct me if you were at the meeting, I'm so sorry. My mom fell and broke another hip, so I've been out of the office, and so I've just been, I'm sorry, my brain's just kind of fried on some things. But anyway, so we've been talking about that barcoders need refreshing, just like the continuing education that catalogers have done. And we had a couple of other little suggestions along the way about some standardizations, and we talked through those. We're also seeing more and more from OCLC that they're putting in non-English subject headings. And so our group was talking about, do we remove those or not? And I believe we are still taking a look at that to see if we have some other options, such as providing more languages in the pack instead of in the cataloging of the subject headings. So that's about it.
Donna, this is Jennifer. I can speak to the training. No problem. We've put together a change to the current standards that say that barcoders do not have to retake training after they've taken the initial two classes. We would like to change that to having all barcoders retake the training every 2 years, either both classes or some type of refresher course that would cover that. It would not necessarily affect catalogers, as they do the 15 CE hours every year. We'll deal with that on a more case-by-case basis. So it has gone, it's supposed to be posted for member comments. I have not seen it go up yet, but I'll double check with Brant and make sure it goes up, and then we'll hopefully get it voted on by membership.
Thank you, Jennifer, for reminding me what we said.
No problem.
I think that's a good thing. I think people forget how to merge records correctly. I think people forget how to do multiple barcodes if they need to or something like that. So any kind of training we can give them isn't a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah, that's our hope.
And as part of that meeting to discuss alternative languages, we did reach out to Polaris, and I believe it was around $25,000 for each additional language we wanted to add. So we did some investigation of what other languages are prominent, because we do already have Spanish. The next most frequent was just a kind of generic other, and then it was Chinese. And so I do have some data on that, but because this was not really requested by a member library, with that kind of a price tag, I don't know that we will be moving forward, but the Bibliographic Standards Committee will be reviewing that as well.
Yeah, and we're going to just have to make a decision on, do we keep those other languages in? I find it not interesting that OCLC is really only adding French as far as what I've seen. I don't know if anybody else is a cataloger. That's all I'm seeing, and I'm not exactly sure why that is picked over all other languages out there. But
that has been a wider question amongst the cataloging community. I've seen numerous listeners like, why are they doing French? What's the point? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what is the point? And it's just being slammed in almost all new records, right? So
it is, yeah.
Causing, you know, the records to be quite lengthy. And again, if it's not useful to us in any form, because the item itself is still an English item, they're just putting in French subject headings to describe an English item, is my understanding. So I don't know if I see the point of keeping them. Anyway, I think that's about all we had on our agenda that day.
Great. Any questions for Donna? Okay, thank you so much, Donna. Okay, then we will move on to the Circulation and Resource Sharing Committee. Esther?
Okay. I believe we were supposed to have had a meeting in April, but I was on spring break, so I don't know if they didn't have a quorum. I know somewhere along the line it was canceled. So, you know, we did not meet since the last executive council. So, and Dina, hopefully next month after our board meeting, or this month, it's June now, you can add our library to that list of no fines.
Yay. I love hearing when a library goes fine free. I know library boards get a little twitchy when they hear those words fine free. But I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
And Esther, if this helps, when Dina put together that list, over half of our locations, if I'm remembering this correctly, half of our locations have already gone fine free.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Well, we're fine free for children's books right now, but yeah, we finally are moving forward to just take the plunge.
Wonderful.
I do applaud that, but as a really small library, it does make me feel really bad when I have to continue to do fines because it's part of my budget.
Yeah.
And I do applaud the ones that can do it. I think it's great, but it kind of makes me out to be the bad guy when you've got a couple around you that have done it and you're still holding your patrons to that standard. And I am very generous on what I waive, though. So I am trying to be a little bit nicer about, give us half of what you owe.
Yeah. Well, and Donna, that is actually going to be a very hot topic, I'm sure, at our next circulation committee meeting, which is next Thursday. So if you're interested in sitting in on that, you're more than welcome to, because we will be discussing how fine free impacts our neighbors, specifically the idea that when you're fine free, but your neighbor is not, should you waive those fines for those patrons? And I know that's been a robust discussion. We need to definitely determine the best practices and send out recommendations. Right now, I have been telling library directors to please not waive fines, even though the money would not if they took the fines, it's still not going to the other library to please not do that, because it's creating some problems with, again, people who still rely on their fine revenue. So
I have patrons, you know, going down the road 5 miles and using them exclusively now instead of using us, because they feel that, you know, that 10 cent fine is just too much for them, I guess. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm just feeling like we're the kind of the bad ones in the middle of that. So,
yeah. And unfortunately that is definitely, absolutely 100%. You need to do what's best for your budget and your community. But I know it is hard when you start to have neighbors that are doing something a little bit different. You get that, you know, library peer pressure. So, yeah. Okay. Anybody have any questions for Esther?
Hi, this is Jenna. I do have one question. Sorry if I'm barging in on anybody. So when you guys do fine free for just juveniles, is it just juvenile material? Is it only your juvenile cards? So could they go to another library and not have fines for other library items? Like, how does it work?
Dina could probably answer that better, because I know it's set in Polaris. And I get
it is set in Polaris. So what we have this magical site that one of our IT guys developed, and it's so when I go to do fines, I do it by what the library's fine code is. So like if you want to make your juvenile books fine free for only your juvenile patrons, we can do that. If you want your juvenile materials fine free for all your patrons, we can do that. We can do it by the loan code and the patron code. If I'm making any sense at all.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like Ryan's library is fine free for all of their materials and all of their patrons. Carbondale Public Library, their juvenile and young adult material is fine free for all of their patrons. Same way with Fairview Heights Public Library, all of their juvenile YA materials are fine free for all of their patrons. Off the top of my head, I don't know of any library that has specific patron codes that are just fine free. There is one library, and I forget which it is. They like their outreach and their senior patrons. So if they have a patron code of outreach direct, senior non-resident, senior adult, they are fine free for all materials. So yeah. You can make certain items, certain patrons, everything, just about everything in Polaris can be customized to your library for how it's going to work for your community.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, we have a senior category that we do that for outreach. So yeah, that was our first step. So.
Can I ask a sort of related question to Dina while I've got you here? I think the circulation committee discussed automatic renewal. Is that something that I could just have for my library? Because I'm sending out a lot of, you know, first overdue notices because I can't get some people to give me texting or email, and I'm wasting a lot of postage, and I'm trying to find a better solution, and I'm kind of stumped by what to do there, you know?
Yeah, Polaris does have an automatic renewal option, but it's a system-wide option. It can't be done on a library-by-library basis. Okay. And Cassandra, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was like maybe a year ago, October, we discussed it in the committee, and at that time they decided not to move forward because there are so many
variables.
Yes, with blocking messages.
It's a PR nightmare because things might renew, things might not renew. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
And then you got patrons hollering, how come my books didn't renew?
Yeah. I thought there was automatic renewal.
Yeah.
But it is at a system-wide level. It cannot be turned on a library-by-library basis.
Okay.
Now, that's not, I'm not saying, you know, in the future, Polaris may change that. I have no idea what their plans for that are. But right now it's kind of all or nothing.
And Donna, you can always charge the postage. Mm-hmm. Add that as a fee on their card when you have to send out. That might convince them to maybe give you some information so it doesn't cost them any extra.
Yeah, and I don't know, Donna, it's your libraries. If we have turned on, well, if they're not getting their electronic notices, then never mind, because there is the reminder notice that goes out, but those go out electronically. They're
right. Not it's all notes. Electronic. It's just my paper notices that I'm having an issue with. So
yeah.
I just and thought I threw it out there. Sorry.
Yeah, the post, it adds up very quickly, very quickly. If you do figure it out, please share it with the rest of the library world.
What? Get that done? Oh, yeah. Well, I think I need to get rid of a layer of individuals that won't change, you know, that won't let me. I also think maybe, and I've been mulling this over, is that we just don't give them a paper option anymore. When we sign up somebody new, we say the notices are by email or text. And I haven't gone that route yet, but I've been mulling that over.
Donna, we actually started requiring email address on our application.
Okay, so they have to give you something, and then that's what they get notified by.
Right. Granted, it might be a spoof email, or it might be, you know, it might be one they don't check, but at least they have to provide one.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think in this, just in the world that we live in today, with all the technology around us, it would be really hard to find someone who does not have an email address. I mean, my mom is 82. She has an email address. So, and then like a phone that doesn't receive a text message again, it'd be pretty hard to find someone without that technology.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate it. Okay. Then we'll go ahead and move on. The Finance and Policy Committee, and actually Miranda is not able to be here today, and I have forgotten everything that we talked about. So give me just one second to review my notes. We did meet, and that we met last month. And let's see. We did discuss the what we've already talked about the adding languages, and I think that committee was also in favor that unless a specific library has requested that would be something that would not be financially viable at this time. We also discussed the SHARE affiliate program and an expansion of that program specifically to facilitate interlibrary loan with the IHLS schools that do not participate, and how would that look? And so that's still in development, still something that we're talking about. But once I have a proposal, I will send it to everybody for review and comment before we even move forward to try to discuss that, because I know there are a lot of arguments for and against. And so we want to do it as not just increasing resource sharing access to all of our IHLS members, but also to promote SHARE as a service that people would be interested in pursuing for membership. So it's kind of a, you know, a free trial kind of an idea, but it also is also as a convenience to some of our members who we'd had some people sending out requests for interlibrary loan to SHARE members that were IHLS, but not, they were standalones, but SHARE, some of our SHARE staff had no idea what to do with them and didn't want to fulfill those requests because this ALA fax request form was just so different. And so it would also facilitate lending for the members who don't participate in SHARE. But again, it would not be like the full service what membership provides now. It just would just be to facilitate interlibrary loans. So that is something that we will be considering. And again, once I have a full proposal, I'll send it out for everybody to at least review and provide ideas and comment on before we make any decisions, even at the Finance and Policy Committee level, or send it out for member comment. Okay. Next up, eResources Committee, Ryan.
Great, thank you. The primary thing we discussed was that challenge policy and procedures that Leslie previously discussed. So yeah, that was mainly it. unless Cassandra or Leslie know of something else I forgot to mention.
I think so.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Okay, do we have any public comment? I do have a public comment. Just again, I want to thank Ryan and Brittany, Gloria and Jim for their participation and volunteering on this committee. We will certainly miss you. And I hope you continue to find ways to participate in the share membership process and governance. We always have some openings on other committees. So if you're interested in e-resources, for example, that's another one that I think that we could use some additional membership. So please feel free to reach out to me about that. Okay, any other comments? And do we have any announcements? Okay, our next meeting will be Thursday, August 4th at 2 p.m. via Zoom. Thank you everybody for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.